Howdy and welcome to another week with Dan's Dabble in Babble. We'll get started here in a moment, but first, a word from our sponsors. Started in the midst of the pandemic, the founder of Hydranique Hydration, a frontline healthcare worker, started developing constant headaches. A landmark research study published early during the pandemic showed that up to 81% of frontline healthcare workers developed new headaches, mainly because of their PPE, personal protective equipment like face masks and face shields, which prevented them from eating and drinking properly while on the job. He would leave work tired, dehydrated, and burnt out. The founder looked for a healthy drink with all the necessary vitamins and minerals, but with no sugar. Something that was keto-friendly and healthy, but most powdered drinks on the market have a ton of sugar and caffeine. That's why he created Hydranique Hydration, sugar-free, keto-friendly, plant-based, antioxidant-rich electrolyte powder packets for daily use containing all the essential vitamins and minerals with a refreshing taste. Their product contains elderberry, which has immune-boosting properties for support during cold and flu season. Hydranique Hydration electrolyte powder packets can also fit in your bag or suitcase when traveling. Remember traveling? So if you're having trouble with eating and drinking healthy during your busy day in 2022, but want a sugar-free, keto-friendly vitamin drink, give Hydranique Hydration a try. There are 30 electrolyte powder packets in a pouch, perfect for a one-month supply. You can visit the website www.hydraniquehydration.com. That's www.hydraniquehydration.com. It's the word hydration and unique mashed together. That's www.hydraniquehydration.com. Or search for Hydranique Hydration on Amazon.com, where they are offering a $10 discount coupon at checkout for the next week. Welcome to the Haunting, Unearthly, and Paranormal Stories podcast. Each week will be a different event, whether paranormal or some other strange and unexplained happening. Maybe even a haunting located near you will be examined and relayed to you. These events and stories are based on events have been given to us by the people who experienced these events in their own lives. These stories will take you to the depths of fear and back again. You will learn of places haunted by spectrals and other shadows. You will learn about ghost investigations, the demonic happenings and possible possessions, dream homes taken over by paranormal or supernatural events. Within all these stories, you will question yourself and locations you have been to, those times you caught movement out of the corner of your eye, or thought you did. You may just learn that it likely was some spirit from another plane of existence trying to get your attention. You may start questioning different locations you currently visit and begin to wonder if those slight noises that you are hearing are truly the building settling or someone from a past life walking down the hallway toward you. These weekly journeys we take together will lead us down deserted roads, into the deep and dark forests, and through the doors of buildings we should not enter. Pull up a chair and join me as we take a step into the unknown here on the Haunting, Unearthly, and Paranormal Stories podcast. If you would like to get in touch with us, you can email us at hupspodcast@yahoo.com or contact us through our website, http://hupspodcast.com. Just remember, believe those that you choose or believe in none. It is your choice. Hello and howdy, listeners of Dan's Dabble in Babble. I'm excited for our guest this week. Now, this guest is not going to be your typical interview that you've come to expect with Dan's Dabble in Babble, mainly because she's got really nothing interesting going on in her life, so there's nothing to talk about. It's a joke. Am I not allowed to have any fun? No, I'm not allowed to have fun since January 28th, 2022, but that's a different story. But my guest this week is someone who, so the history of my podcasting, well, not the total history, but this guest is someone who, so I had a podcast, Deepest Fantasy, many years ago, and then this guest joined me as my co-host, and we changed the name to Dan Jam, an eclectic cocktail of hot topics. So my co-host this week, my guest this week, is none other than my cousin, Jamie Burkett. How you doing, cousin?
Hi. Other than the little scream in my head, because that's not how I pronounce my last name at all. So it's just like, nope.
Okay, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that, because this is something that, and I'm going to enter into this conversation of understanding that I am the only one in our family that pronounces our last name this way. So, Jamie, what is our last name? Now, for those listening, Jamie and I share a last name because we're the type of cousins where both of our fathers are brothers. So we have the same paternal grandparents, and we are a traditional Catholic family who passed down the paternal name. So we ended up with the same last name, which is pronounced Jamie.
I say it's Burkett. Not Burkett.
And when you say
I don't put the accent there. I put it on the other side of it.
When you say that, that's how our grandparents pronounced it. That's how all of our parents pronounce it. In fact, everybody will correct people when they pronounce it Burkett. But I became a Burkett when
you didn't change your name or anything, you just changed where you put the accent on your last name.
I did, yes, because okay, so for the longest time I did not go by Dan. I went by Daniel. And when I would introduce myself to people, I would say, "Hi, I'm Daniel Burkett." I would say, "Hi, I'm Daniel Burkett." And people would not hear my first or my last name. But when I became a Dan, people started to understand me a lot better when I said Dan Burkett, because they're nice, short, sharp syllables. And I had a weird complex as a kid where, because like, now your mom worked in your school system, but your teachers, did your teachers usually, like on the first day of school, did they usually pronounce it Burkett or Burkett right off? And you also had lots of older siblings.
They would mess up all the time. Yeah. Even when I was in high school, which my mother was a high school teacher, right? And I just figured, like, oh, like, administration and everyone, like, the high school, they're not going to go because, like, you know what I mean? Like, they see Burkett all the time. No. They would still mess up. Anytime I would get called, like, on the intercom, mm-hmm. they would say, Jamie Burkett. And there was, like, a couple of times I didn't go because I was just a teenager. I mean, I don't ever explain myself there. Oh, a teenager who did not want to follow debuts. That's crazy.
I'm completely unfamiliar with that concept.
Right. You teach high school. But yeah, no, like they would literally do that. And I'd be like, that's not my name. That's not my name. That's not my name. All the time. All of the time. And I would just keep correcting people all the time, and I still do to this day. I correct people all the time.
So that gave me such a complex I felt like our family was wrong, so I kind of internalized that. And I don't know, this is maybe something that I should break down with my therapist, like why did I find it such a big deal to break away and, you know, become my own man with my own last name that nobody else in our family shares, except they all share it. We are the Burkettes.
I don't know. That actually might be something interesting to break down therapy. That might be saying something about yourself. Deeply rooted, but I don't know. In my opinion, name, like the way you pronounce a name or a word, it's defined by the people who are using it, right? And if it's a last name, it's defined by the people who have it as their last name, right? So by that logic itself, I cannot be wrong, because these are the letters that are on my like birth certificate and IDs and everything. So therefore I can't be wrong in how I say it.
No, so I fully submit to the fact that I am probably the one that's wrong here, but, you know, I'm still going to be Burkett. Now, this brings up another thing. So you are also a teacher. So your students, what do they call you?
Don't laugh when I tell you this, okay? So, as you know, my birthday is very close to Thanksgiving, all right? We're getting close to Thanksgiving.
Closer to Christmas. It's closer to Christmas.
It's closer to Christmas, but it's very close to Thanksgiving, okay? We were getting close to...
No, it's not. It's like, it's most years, it's like 363 days from Thanksgiving.
It occurred during... my birthday occurred during our Thanksgiving break this year. This week, uh-huh. Whatever, right? Uh-huh. And we were getting close to Thanksgiving, and a student asked me when my birthday was, because it was her birthday, and she knew we were born November. I don't remember. Oh, because they would tell, like, they put, like, a little poster that says, like, teacher birthdays, but it's just the month and not the year or anything like that.
Sure.
So it was November. My birthday, my name was on the board or whatever. And a student asked me when my birthday was, and I told her, oh, it's during Thanksgiving break, right? This student had some trouble, like, she's got some speech issues, okay? And she said, Berkey. Like turkey. So there's a few students that call me Berkey Turkey.
That's hilarious.
It is hilarious. And I just go with it because I know it's for fun. Who cares, right?
But so in general, so what I'm getting at here are most students though call you Miss Burkett.
Yeah, they say Burkett. Yeah, or okay. They'll just say Burkett, and it's fine.
So I am just. And this is, well, yeah, no, this has happened every place I've had a full-time teaching job. Because when I was a grad assistant, I used my first name. But then even my summer high school class, students will always end up calling, like most of them call me Mr. Burkett. But a lot of them will call me Mr. B. And I'm like, Burkett is not that weird of a last name. It's two syllables. It's not hard to pronounce. I don't know why that has to be shortened. And it bothers me, but I've never said anything. And the only reason I'm thinking about it now is because one of my coworkers, a friend of mine, overheard a student call me that. And she was like, is that what they call you? And I'm like, some do. And she thought it was strange too. So anyway,
he is better than Berkey. I would like to just, I think it might be better than that.
I don't know. You can just think of the cosplay you can do next year around Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's right. I could be a Berkey.
I mean, you're also an art teacher, so you can be as eccentric as you want to be. So you should just wear like turkey earrings. Like that should be your new aesthetic.
That would not be a bad plan at all. My mom had some students that would also call her Miss B. Like, mm-hmm. So maybe that's just a thing. I don't know. I've told some students who have speech problems that they can just call me B, just because it's like, maybe that's easier just to make a B than a whole word sound, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. That just always struck me as odd, because it's like, I don't know, you don't do that with other letters. Like, I don't know of anybody that goes by Mr. C. Or Mr. J.
Right. Why is the B make the letter only? That's it. That's all we need to do. Just letter.
I don't know. It's strange. I have to say, one of the greatest things about having you co-host this week is it gives me a natural pause to be able to drink coffee, which I've spoken about on this podcast before. As like, you know, I always have a beverage when I'm podcasting, but when I'm solo podcasting, I don't have anything. Like I have to just awkwardly have silence, and I mean maybe it's some good ASMR for people to hear me swallow, but that, you know.
Random side note, I just realized my fan is running. Is that making a weird audio thing, because I can like turn it off?
There's a little bit of white noise. Yeah, why don't you go ahead and turn it off.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was on because it's just like background noise in here.
No, you're good. It's not terrible. But yeah, and we're gonna leave all of this in, obviously. So you know,
so that people know why it is that there was sound and there wasn't any sound.
Exactly. We've got that nice production note. So anyway, how's life? How's the weather? So tell everybody where you're podcasting from.
I'm podcasting from West Lafayette, Indiana. And I can now get on the roads without dying at any point in time. So that's good.
Is there still snow?
There is still snow. It's not on the roads anymore, though. It's not like big giant mountains in random spots. Like I can look out my window and actually see the ground in some places.
Yeah. So for those, for my Florida listeners that haven't lived in other places, in Indiana, and I'm assuming West Lafayette is the same, but in Terre Haute, at least, they would never budget properly for winter road maintenance. So there would be just some roads that would never get plowed because they wouldn't have enough plows or enough manpower or enough salt or whatever. And that it would always be so frustrating because the thing is like we always hope for a mild winter, but it's very rare that we don't get any snow at all. So it's like, how is that an acceptable solution to just be like, ah, fuck it, we're not going to plow these roads?
I have no idea. They honestly did a pretty good job. Like, I was able to go to the grocery store on day two, or not day two, on day one, at the end of day one. But, like, me to go to the grocery store, it's only main roads.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know about side roads, but I was able to do that. So, like, in my opinion, that's how I judge that. I'm like, I was able to get on the highway, and then I was able to go to Aldi's and to Walmart. Oh, my gosh, I could have gone to both. Like,
oh, my gosh, I went to Aldi alone. And Walmart today.
Oh my gosh, twinsies.
And then in Wisconsin, we had the thing where, like, in general, the street hired plows were pretty good, but people would also have their like vigilante snow plows and like be out plowing the roads.
I saw a few of those here the other day.
I know.
Day.
It's just like, I mean, Wisconsinites are just a special, simple tent type of people. And it's like, for the first snow, the people get like so excited, the people that have their own plows. And I'm like, I mean, listen, I appreciate the service. I just like, I personally don't want to be plowing my own roads, especially like when you live in Milwaukee where they have lots of really high powered snow plows, but you know, whatever, it gets the job done. So
hey, whatever gets it done. And also, like, again, I think it's pretty universal in most places. It's like less populated areas, like the roads are going to get hit later, right? You know,
right?
And it makes sense in that scenario to have your own vigilante snow plow. I want a vigilante snow plow now, and I want to make it look Batman.
You should get a plow for your Jeep. I think that is.
Yeah, make them for my Jeep? Because like my Jeep doesn't have all the fun accessories.
I don't know. You should just like tie a shovel to the front of your Jeep.
I mean, I could just do that. Oh, they do. They do make them for the right size for my vehicle. Because I guess it's like a universal.
And then you can paint turkeys on them.
Perfect plan. It's great. I see no problem with this at all.
Turkey is your new personality, which is a little strange since you're a vegetarian.
Tofurkey. That is my personality.
Tofurkey. Berkey Tofurkey.
Every once in a while, a student finds I'm a vegetarian for some reason, and then like they have to ask me like, why don't you eat meat? And it's like, I don't want to have this conversation every week.
Yeah, that's especially in like smaller town Indiana. It's just, I mean, it's much easier to do now, but like when we were in high school and college, it was much harder to find as widely available vegetarian options at the grocery store.
I've been a vegetarian since high school. I was thinking about the other day how like I'm actually weird. I'm actually like, I didn't think I was weird before, but I realized I actually am weird because that's a really long time for like to do that diet by some people's opinions and experiences and whatever. I don't know. Every once in a while, I realize I'm weird and I don't think I'm weird.
Yeah, I don't think you're weird. I think you're, I mean, you did at one point have a list on your phone of things that were not okay to do in public that you would check regularly. But that doesn't make you weird. That makes you delightful.
Hey, I was trying because I had no social skills whatsoever. So if rote memorization was the only thing that was going to work for me, rote memorization was it.
But look how far you've come.
I know. I'm like a functional human being. I'm like a functional adult. It's crazy.
So not to abruptly change the topic, but just to give some sense of structure to the podcast. You mentioned that you're going to be doing some Valentine's things later. So what are you all doing for Valentine's Day?
Oh, nothing too crazy. I know we're going to, this Greek place that's in our neighborhood.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yeah, we've been there like one other time. We haven't really eaten that many times. But they have really good falafel and I was like, cause I was like picking the food and then I think we're probably gonna go see a movie, but I don't know what happens after that because that's a surprise part for me.
Oh yay, that's exciting. Well, let me know how that goes. I'm super excited for we don't have a plan yet. I don't know, it's weird that it's on a Monday, so we're getting together tomorrow to do something. We both have jobs to figure that out. I'm making a white chocolate raspberry cheesecake. That's the only thing that I have planned. And this is my first time making a cheesecake, so I hope that it goes well. Also, the grocery store was completely out of cream cheese, but they had Greek cream cheese. And I don't really know what the difference is. I looked up like if you can make a cheesecake with it. And it's basically it's cream cheese mixed with Greek yogurt. And it's a direct one-to-one substitute.
That would be good.
It's lower in fat. So I think it should work out fine. And I'm making a white chocolate raspberry. So like if I were doing just like a traditional New York style cheesecake, I would be a little bit nervous, but since there's going to be other flavors in there too, I think that it's going to turn out well. But yeah, so I'm excited for that. I'm also, so like last week, I think it was on a Wednesday or something, Michael mentioned Valentine's Day and I was like, oh my God, are you asking me to be your Valentine? And he's like, I mean, I think you could have assumed. I was like, yeah, but it's nice to be asked. So I'm excited to have a Valentine this Valentine's Day. I'm also in a Monday night shuffleboard league. So I texted my team yesterday to be like, hey, I think I'm going to need a substitute for Monday. And then another team member was like, yeah, I have Valentine's Day plans. And I was like, okay, I'm glad somebody else said it because I didn't want that to be the reason why I needed a substitute, but that's the reason why I need a substitute. So now we're forfeiting. Mm-hmm. We're forfeiting our shuffleboard tomorrow, which is fine. It's not the first time we've done it. Like the thing is okay. So shuffleboard is so much fun.
Can I ask,
yes,
what is the average age of people in your shuffleboard?
Okay, so I am about the youngest person there, I had heard. So St. Pete has a shuffleboard club, and yeah. It's really cool. Like, so if you're a member, like you can go take a cooler and like play shuffleboard. So it's a fun thing to do just for a member, like aside from the league. And it has this reputation of being kind of like a hipster young person thing, but apparently young hipsters don't do the Monday night league. It's a lot of retirees.
That's what I would have thought it was, though. That's what I would have assumed.
Right. Well, but like, so, and St. Pete is younger now. No, it's mainly older people. And it's a lot of fun, except that, so this is everybody on my team's first season, first experience. There's one person on our team who I think did a league or did a little bit of shuffleboard a couple of years ago. But none of us, basically we were functionally all new players for this league. So, you know, it's definitely an acquired skill and we're getting better, but these people have been doing it for like 10, 15 years in some cases, and they can be assholes. So you either get people that are nice and like have been helpful. But then there's also a point where it's like, sometimes the games are close and I'm not bad. But then I'll have like this 75-year-old mansplain why what I did was a bad shot. And I'm like, no, and it wasn't though. And like, I don't want this right now. Like, I'm frustrated that I'm losing, one. And two, like, you're coming off as really condescending and I don't like it. Most people, I would say 80% of the people that we play are just like super nice and there to have a good time. And then they're always like, oh, for your first season, you're not bad. And I'm like, thanks, whatever. We have one win. We have one win in our league. So, you know, it is what it is. Yeah. So that's what I've been doing on Monday nights, recently is shuffleboard league with some coworkers, but not tomorrow. Tomorrow is Valentine's Day. So gotta live in the romance.
Can I say something that's so weird about teaching at a public school and my very, very, very Catholic brain?
Mm-hmm.
We've done a few Valentine's Day things, right? But every time I say Valentine's Day, my brain wants to put in front of it Saint. Uh-huh. Every time. And I have to like remind myself right before I say it, like, don't do it. Just skip it. Just skip it. I'd probably be fine. But it's still like skip, 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 you know, every time.
Yeah. Well, you did spend a year at a Catholic school, so it's hard to break the habits. Not only were you at a Catholic school, but you were also teaching religion at a Catholic school.
Right. So it's just like annoying. I had to go through and change a lot of my like projects and stuff that happened around this point in the year. Well, not a lot of them, but like the St. Valentine's Day project, I had to change the wording, I had to throw out one of them and all the other stuff, which like I knew was going to happen, it's fine, but it was still like, oh right, I have to like
So that was so for my listeners who don't know, I spent a year as a professor at a Baptist university, and one of the requirements for all of our classes was that we somehow woven a discussion of our relationship with Christ, and I forget exactly the wording that they use, but basically scriptural teaching had to be a part of all of our course content. So my chemistry classes had to have some element that related to religion somehow. I didn't really do that my first year, which was ended up being my only year there. But that always stressed me out, because it's like, how do I talk about religion and chemistry at the same time? So the way that I would do that is like, one, I would talk about the miracle of water. Like that was, and there's a lot of scriptural readings that like talk about water, obviously. So that was like kind of my plan. And when it would come up in like my interview and stuff like that, that's what I would talk about.
I would have such a hard time doing that in any kind of science. Like, I mean, I'm not a science teacher, obviously, but like, I don't know, like just thinking of it on the base, I can't think of anything.
Well, like in biology, it is easier because like there's just a lot more of like the natural world that you can kind of find things to weave in. But I'm really glad that I didn't have a lot of my material with that in it, because that would be really weird to take out and like retrofit to remove that. But I imagine in art, it was a lot easier because like religious art is, you know, huge.
That's like most of art.
Right.
Like most of the well-known pieces of art, I should say specifically, especially if you're just like, we're just going to talk about the Renaissance for 2 weeks.
Right.
Done, boom, 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 done, especially with Catholicism specifically. It's like, boom, done. Like, the Mona Lisa, she has a veil on. Like, mm-hmm. I don't even ever notice that. She has, that's what that weird line on her forehead is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a veil because she's a Catholic woman. And the idea is the portrait was done on a Sunday. So it's like she came out of mass, like wearing the veil still, because they used to do that. But anyway.
Yeah, you don't really have those opportunities in chemistry.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. But then again, I'm not a I'm not a science teacher, so I don't know. I can't think of where the connections I might see one or something.
Yeah, I'm glad that I don't have to think about that anymore. And you know, I can just focus on teaching chemistry.
Like teaching religion, except for, can I just mention this one thing that came up that was really, I think about this every once in a while. So like, you're aware that Jesus was not a white person, right? Like, statistically speaking, definitely not a white person. He's born in the Middle East. In their textbooks for the religion class, there's a bit in it that basically says Jesus wasn't white, but explains that he got depicted in all the local population's race, basically, all the time. Right. So there's this image, this thing in their textbook that had like Korean Jesus and like West African Jesus, and you get the point, you get the gist, right? Native American Jesus, all of the Jesuses. And we get to that part in the textbook, and I'm just kind of talking about it, right? And I hear this kid say very loudly in the back, "Oh my gosh, it's homie Jesus."
I don't want to be canceled, so I'm just going to let that sit with my audience. Who could have predicted that you and I would have somehow ended up talking about religion, except everything about us and the two of us? It just always comes back. So, for my listeners, Jamie is one of the three cousins that is part of Cousin Fest. We have a third cousin. she is our first cousin, but she is the third cousin in our Cousin Fest.
I am the youngest of our shared grandparents' grandchildren.
Yes, I am the second youngest. Annie is the third youngest. And we make up Cousin Fest cousins.
Do you think that my parents kind of like at all were like kind of funny with the whole fact that they had both the oldest and the youngest grandchild?
Oh, that's definitely a power move. That's why you were had.
That's the actual reason.
Mm-hmm. Eric, we need both. We need the first and the last. Although at that point, I mean, who's to say? There could have been more after you.
That's true.
But there wasn't. but there wasn't. So what else is new? What's good in West Lafayette?
What's good in West Lafayette? I don't know, man. Nothing much. I mean, I moved here in August. Oh, did you see the CVS that I go and get my prescriptions at, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's for nothing serious. I just have like a couple of things I have to do stuff for. Anyway, so I go like once a month, I have to go and pick up my RXs, right? And obviously, I've been going to this CVS since like August, right?
Mm-hmm.
Last time I went to go and pick up, they've messed up my prescriptions almost every time I've gotten there, right? And then I find out that there's another Jamie Burkett in their system with the same birth date as me.
That's
who has vastly different medical needs than me.
There's a lot of Burketts out there, and there's a lot of Burketts like throughout. So there's a student of mine that shares our last name and has the same birthday as me, which is like, that's crazy. And like at ISU, there was a grad student Burkett, and there was a Dr. Burkett that was an econ professor. None of the three of us were related, but of course, everybody always assumed that we were. I actually never met the econ professor or the grad student, in fact. Interesting.
You know, are you talking about the econ professor at ISU?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got asked if I was related to him a few times too, and it's like, no. Nope, not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, and then there was when I was in Illinois, there was like this 65-year-old woman. What was I doing? I feel like I was getting blood work or something, probably from like my annual physical. But there was a woman with the last name Burkett. She was like 65, and she looked pregnant. So I don't know. I don't know what her story was. I think she was just making more Birkets. Birkettes.
Okay, fair enough. No. I that pronunciation thing. I do have something to tell you. When I was, spent a lot of time in Vincennes, Indiana, there was someone who, they read my name as Burkett, and I was ready to correct them. But before I did, they said, are you related to blah, 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 Burkett? So somebody, there is a family that uses the Burkett pronunciation. There's at least one.
Yes, they live in St. Petersburg, Florida.
No, I mean, you and then another one, whatever. You know what I mean.
Well, yeah, of course, because it makes sense to pronounce it that way.
It's not a bad pronunciation. Again, you pronounce the person who has it as their name or speaks the word is who decides how you pronounce it. So therefore, Burkett is an acceptable pronunciation.
I agree.
Yeah. Although, I have a student who has a Y in their name, and it's a name I've never seen with a Y. And every time I read her name, I mispronounce it, and then I apologize because I'm terrible. But there's a Y in there, and the Y doesn't do anything. It's a useless Y. It's not in place of an I. Mm-hmm. It's just this useless Y just there, like, what's up? Here I am. And it breaks my brain every time.
Well, sometimes those whys will be there. Speaking of whys that don't do anything, have you been in the Wordle thing? Have you been doing Wordle?
No, I haven't. I know everyone seems obsessed with it and everyone's mad that the Wall Street Journal, I think, bought them.
It was New York Times.
It's free for now, but it won't be eventually.
Well, I don't know that that's been confirmed. So the New York Times bought it, and I find it a little strange that the New York Times bought it because... why? But yeah, people are afraid that you're going to have to pay for it now. But it's so much fun. And it's, yeah. So I don't know. I just when I find out people play Wordle, I have a daily text that I send my Wordle score to Dennis and Ryan Dyer, and then I send it to Michael. So I was going to include you in my daily Wordle, but apparently you think you're too cool.
It's not that I'm too cool. I just, casual reminder, I do have learning disabilities, and Scrabble has a lot of intense bad memories associated with it for me. So I don't want to relive that with Wordle. My mom was playing, you remember Words with Friends though?
Yes, yes.
My mom was obsessed with it for a while, and she would constantly try to get me to play it. And I would a little bit, try to, but and I found out one day that all she was doing is she had an app on her phone. She would take a screenshot of the Words with Friends thing, put it through that app, and then it would just give her the answers.
See, what's the point of doing that? I know so many people that would do it, but it's the whole point is that it's a game. So at the beginning of the pandemic, I started playing Words with Friends again, and I was all hot into it for 3 weeks, and then it fizzled out. Speaking of games, of phone games, remember what was that game that you and I played? I think you played it. It was My Supermodel, My Fashion.
I remember it. Also, before people think we were 12, we were not 12. We were 20 and 21. I remember it, but I can't think. It had I think it had couture in it or something, in the name, but it was
My Dream Couture or something. Anyway, it was this amazing game so you started out and you had limited hair, makeup, all of that, and as you progressed you would get more and more, you would unlock more hairstyles and stuff like that. And you would also earn in-game money. And the thing was it was a completely free-to-play game. There really was no premium features. I think you could buy diamonds or something, but you didn't need to.
It wasn't Kim Kardashian's game.
No. It was
they also had diamonds.
It was not Kim Kardashian's game. But so then there would be different themes of the photo shoot. And so it would be like the clothing and everything was like, this is a winter outfit and this is like casual, whatever. So like you had to pay attention to that. But then it was so great because you would design your outfit and you would like be head to head with people and people would vote on the outfits. And so and I loved that game and I was really good. And then because it was like so cool, you could like borrow from your friends' closets. What a game.
It was really fun. It was legitimately fun. I think I remember a few times that where you were like, go vote for me on this one. Go vote for me on this one thing or whatever. Like you would text me rapid fire. Like, hey, I just did this one. Can you go on there and vote for me, please? Well,
there was one because then it was like you would be the highest overall would be featured for like an hour on the like load up screen for the game. And I was that person once. God. What a game.
It was a really fun game. And now I want to see if it's still like live at all.
I know. It'd be, yeah.
Did you play the Kim Kardashian game?
I never played the Kim Kardashian. I don't know. Like, I don't know. Do you, so there, I mean, you and I have gone through many phases of random games. There was, remember the, when Facebook games were all the rage, like I was never big into Farmville. I did Farmville, but do you remember, I'm pretty sure you and I did this. It was like where you designed your own restaurant.
Yeah. I can't think of the name of it, but yes, we both did that one.
I can't think of that, but that was super fun.
Do you remember the Sims like Facebook game? That was so weird.
Yes.
That was such a weird game.
It was weird. Like, and I, as you and I can both attest, we are Sims addicts. I haven't played the Sims in a really long time. I miss it. But it's one of those things.
I played The Sims last night.
See, it's like one of those things where I know if I play it again, I'll just like spend 14 hours in a row playing it, and then I won't touch it again for 3 years.
That's how The Sims is. That's exactly how The Sims is. Exactly. I built the Family Guy house in The Sims once. And I say once, I mean, I was playing in my Family Guy house last night because. It's the most like realistic house like that I have.
Yeah.
In it. Does that make sense? It's the most like, yeah, I could see somebody actually like living in a house with this layout kind of thing.
Well, see, and that's the other thing is half the time, because that's part of the fun of The Sims is building your house. But then if like you really want to do it well, it takes so much time. So I'll be like, okay, I just spent 8 hours designing this house. And like now I don't want to actually play the game because I need to go just like sit outside and breathe air.
Yeah, I have to go outside and touch grass now because they haven't in too long. Yeah, that's the problem with The Sims is it's like you'll spend forever just doing, just like making, just like setting everything up. And then you like leave it for a day or longer. I love it when you like, when I start like a new family or whatever, and I start them with like no money. Like I do that all the time. Then I just slowly like build everything up.
Right. The only, so, cause like I would always do that too, is like, I would want to start and like, I always tried to play the game without the money cheat code. Cause it's like, that's the whole fun of the game is like progressing through your career. And it's just, it's so addictive, to get the next promotion. Which is a lot of fun. But then the thing that would frustrate me is when my Sim would then marry a Sim that would just like happen to be wealthy. And it's like, all of a sudden I just got like 120,000 simoleons and I'm like, well, there goes, like, I might as well just have used the money cheat, but I guess, I mean, that's life. Sometimes you marry rich.
Yeah. Your Sim is just smart. Okay. Come on.
I guess
I always like making my Sims families really, 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 really dysfunctional. Like I like to a level of just insanity. Single mom, five kids, five baby daddies, and like one of the baby daddies shows up and just like beats the other kids.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. That's, and like especially like the It would be so funny. And The Sims 3 did this better in The Sims 4 because The Sims 3 was like basically open world, but like just you could have a male sim that would like impregnate so many women. And so like you'd just be walking around town and there would just be all of these pregnant Sims.
And all of then eventually all of the, like almost all the Sims
are
like
related to your
Sims. Yeah. Because it's just like too many. I think it's like three gens, and then The Sims 3 just like loses the connection on the like family tree where it's like, it's not related enough that it's fine.
It was hilarious because it was like you would send your kids to school and all of their classmates would be their siblings.
Their siblings, yeah.
Oh, God.
Sims 4 has kind of disappointed me recently, and I want them to just do Sims 5 already. Because it's like, I mean, I feel like it's going to just disappoint me more and I probably won't even ever buy it. But like, you know what I mean? Like they just keep on making stupid decisions. Like the worst decisions. I'm going to look. Have you ever seen The Sims like creepypasta thing?
No.
It's so dumb. It's like this guy's talking about how he was torturing his Sims and like The Sims 2, I think, because he talked about that clown that would show up.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And you say like, oh, I just love playing The Sims to torture my Sims till the point where they would get really depressed and that clown would show up.
Right.
And then he talks about how like he said there was like a fire that went on and the Sims were all burning, but then their faces got realistic, which I don't know what that means. And like started like looking up at the camera at him like they knew he was torturing them. And then the clown is like maniacally laughing or whatever. It's a very weird creepypasta, like most video game creepypastas. It's not really that scary. It's just kind of like, that's not how coding works. So I know that's not real and I'm not scared.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. Sims. Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, I think that kind of will do it for this random walk of an episode, unless there is anything else on your mind that you want to get off your chest.
Nothing in particular, except I am incredibly jealous of you and the fact that you did not have to deal with Snowmageddon because you live in Florida.
Oh my God. But Jamie, it has been such a terrible winter here. Like, I'm not even kidding. It's been cold.
I swear, if you say some nonsense about it being 40 degrees.
It's dipped into the 40s a couple times, but it's been cold. Like, you don't understand.
I don't understand. There was a mountain of snow. I couldn't open my window for like a week.
I know. I've had to wear a light jacket. And like most of the time I haven't worn a light jacket and it's just been like slightly uncomfortable. All right. So, God, I love living in Florida. I understand. I understand how I sound. But you know what? This is my reality, Jamie. Do not gaslight me.
Whatever, Mr. Disney the other day, man.
I know. Disney last week. Supposed to do sailing lessons yesterday, but there wasn't enough wind. But that's a different story. We're going to go back in a month. So we went there. They did like the land part of the sailing lesson, and the lady was being nice. I think she was just like, she didn't want to deliver bad news. She was basically telling us to wait and not do it yesterday, but she was like, well, we can go out there. And I was like, just give it to me straight. Like, this is our first time sailing. Is this going to be a good experience? And she was like, honestly, no. So it's like, okay, well then let's not do it today.
You didn't have to like pay again though. Like they were like, it's cool.
Oh, no. So like, so they charged me for the time for that, but that's going to apply to when we come back. So it's like, yeah, it's not no. Like they obviously weren't going to charge me for like not actually having a sailing lesson. But no, it's a cool
place.
Because
you would have raged.
It's a cool place. Oh yeah, well no, it would have been nonsense. The same thing happened when we tried to go skydiving the first time. It was too windy, and then the second time it worked. So the second time is going to be the charm for this. Except we had the opposite problem. It wasn't windy enough, and so hopefully next time we'll have good winds. But this place is cool because then it's like once you do a lesson with them, it's only like $50 to rent a sailboat from them. And so like that could be a fun little day activity to go take a sailboat out. And then they also have like kayaks and they've got paddle boards and all kinds of fun stuff. So I'm excited. It just didn't happen yesterday.
Why? Like, so where do you have to go for a sail? Like, is it like on a dock situation or is it like a beach. I don't know how sailboats work, obviously.
It's a little, so yeah, it's like, so this place is a little marina. So the place that we were going was actually in Clearwater. Because I don't know, the places that I found in St. Pete were just obnoxiously expensive. And like people were wishy-washy about scheduling, but this place is just super chill. But yeah, no, it's like, it's, I'm trying to think of a good analogy for, like Sullivan Lake.
I've been to Florida. I've been on boats at Florida.
Oh, so yeah. So, you know, so it's like the you start in the intercoastal. So you're on that side. But yeah, so that's coming in about a month. You know,
That's exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited. But anyway,
I'm excited to eat Greek food pretty soon.
I'm excited for you to eat Greek food. I'm excited to figure out what I'm going to do tomorrow and to make this cheesecake. I feel like there's something else. This was like the big thing.
I think the cheesecake will be fine though with like the Greek yogurt cream cheese sounds delicious. Like yeah, I would eat a whole vat of it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be good. And you know, it'll be what it'll be. But anyway, thank you for joining me on the podcast. It's just nice to, I've had a lot of solo episodes. I've got guests booked for, I don't know. I need to actually look and remind myself of when I've got guests booked for, but, it's nice to have a bit of a change up. So, if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can do so at Babbling Dan. Follow me on Instagram at Daniel Burkett. Jamie, do you want them to follow you?
I have a Twitter account.
I have to applaud you. This was a new email address that I sent the link for this to. You're no longer using an AOL email address. It's crazy.
Oh, I still have it. don't worry. My laptop has my Google account like already like logged in. So it's like, I'll just be easier because I just have to click the icon. And
stuff. When is AOL going to just like be like, sorry,
we don't use it for spam. Oh, we don't have it. I don't think they ever will. I think that that's always going to be up in some form, I feel like, because it's like really cheap for them to operate. Also, I don't know if you're aware of this, AOL still has people paying for their email account. Like, it's mostly old people who don't realize they don't have to pay for it anymore because the email's free now. But like, so I don't think they really ever will until the last AOL paying customer dies.
Yeah.
But you know, who knows when that'll be. but my Twitter account is at Jamie93. It's a lot of random thoughts by me. So if you want to see random thoughts, that's a good place for it.
Remember on Dan Jam when we would always finish with Pope tweets? Man, what a different time.
I do remember when we would finish with a Pope tweets by the Pope.
Okay. Well, thanks again for joining, everybody. I hope you have a great week. Enjoy the Super Bowl. Happy Valentine's Day to everybody. Hope it's rad.